The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Now, in honour of Boris Johnson's casual racism, for the next few minutes or so, I'll call myself Matt Murphy, and we're joined by Daniel Murphy and Dee Murphy to actually talk about the week trending. Because, Dee, tell us a little bit about Boris Johnson in the Foreign Office and the things he used to say about these damn pesky foreigners.
Yeah, so basically he's got an awful track record from his time as Foreign Secretary. He said about our own Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, why isn't he called Murphy like all the rest of them? And he's been known to kind of throw his weight in with Trump, I think, on saying the kind of very out there, very politically incorrect statements that really, really appeal to a certain demographic who feel that the PC madness has gone too far.
Yeah, so it's sort of funny, in inverted commas, to sort of say, talk about, oh, Chancellor Angela Merkel, did she serve in the Stasi police in East Germany? Emmanuel Macron, he's a jumped up Napoleon. Daniel Murphy, Cal, this is very easy stuff to do, isn't it? Very glib. Yeah, for a man who's going to become Prime Minister.
And he has equated the EU with as Nazis previously. So this isn't his first time. Like, I mean, was it last year or 2 years ago he equated Muslim women wearing the niqab or the burqa as letterboxes or bank robbers? He also wrote a poem about the Turkish president in which he had sex with a goat.
Hang on, his own grandfather was Turkish.
Yeah, Boris. That's not a very English name, is it?
That wasn't why he wasn't a Turkish, and there's another story behind that. But his own great-grandfather or grandfather was actually a Turkish immigrant to England.
Yeah, so and then he also called Barack Obama half Kenyan at one stage. So, but this kind of language, unfortunately, makes no difference these days, as we saw this week with Trump and his comments about go home and send her back. So this
are we going to get a bit too precious about this? Is this all just a bit of a laugh, or should we expect higher standards of somebody who's about to become Prime Minister?
We absolutely should expect higher standards. It's what I would see from this is it's real when people in power start speaking like that, it's essentially testing the waters. And the more somebody in power speaks like that, the more people that actually think like that feel that it's a correct way to think and that it's okay to be unkind to minorities or to use the organs of the state against minorities.
And it's also a sort of a superiority feeling. It's like, I mean, why aren't all these Paddies just known as Murphy? Make it easier rather than these strange names.
We've seen it in the last few weeks. Was the comment, was it last week or this week, where we should just go, it was on some news programme in England, where we should just go over and tell the Irish, just accept the backstop or whatever. So it's this kind of, he's kind of going for very base level stereotypes.
Very 1950s approach to politics.
Well, then also there was his performance this week.
4:30.
On Wednesday at the Tory hustings, he gave a speech in London, which included this little beauty in relation to the fish known as the kipper.
This kipper. This kipper, which has been presented to me just now by the editor of a national newspaper, who received it from a kipper smoker in the Isle of Man, who is utterly furious because after decades of sending kippers like this through the post, he has had his costs massively increased by Brussels bureaucrats who have insisted that each kipper must be accompanied by a plastic ice pillow. Pointless, expensive, environmentally damaging elf and safety.
Yeah, another lark from Boris, the man who, of course, made a career out of claiming that Brussels wanted a certain bend on the banana. Except the problem here against Dee is this allegation.
Absolutely not. I mean, full credit to him on the theatrics of how he presented it, but there's absolutely no substance to anything that he said. Firstly, the Isle of Man isn't part of the EU. It's a crown dependency, so major misstep there if you're criticising the EU and using one of your own crown dependencies. Secondly, the EU doesn't actually regulate the ideal temperature of kippers. It's the UK that does.
It's a UK regulation. Yeah.
And thirdly, and I think this is quite an interesting point, the Isle of Man do, in fact, adopt some EU rules and indeed some UK rules, even though they're not part of the UK or the EU proper. The reason they do that is to get access to the market. And that is actually a situation that Great Britain may find itself having to do in times to come. The difference will be that they have no control over the rules that are being set.
But Daniel, the audience that he was appealing to will only remember the lie. They won't remember the detail or the denial, will they?
But like, facts and the truth don't really matter. It seems, if you look at Trump, he's continually, like, I know I'm equating, but there is quite a similarity. But the kipper, like, he came with props with this kipper.
No, they said the props because the kippers was maybe a reference to UKIP, which was the former party, which has been sort of supplanted by the Brexit party under Nigel Farage. But either case, he still was telling lies. And then he went into, a lot of the time these Brexiteers get involved in this thing, they denigrate anyone who says things are going wrong. It's all project fear. Everything is going to be spliffingly fine after Brexit. This is what he had to say about Mars bars.
I even heard it said that somebody at Tesco said there wouldn't be Christmas dinner if we came out without an agreement on October the 31st. Do you really think this great country of ours is incapable of making Christmas dinner, of victualling the people of Britain with Christmas dinner? I tell you, the planes will fly. Whatever deal we do, and it will be a great deal, whatever deal we do, the planes will fly. And there will be clean drinking water, my friends. And there will be adequate supplies of glucose and milk solids and whey to make the Mars bars that we need. Because where there's a will, there's a way, ladies and gentlemen.
Except there won't be way if there's no deal, because they don't have enough of it to make the Mars bars or the cocoa or the glucose.
And glucose and whey don't sound like a particularly appealing Christmas dinner. And I would also say that having clean drinking water is not something to boast about for a modern economy.
And he's wrong, because if there is a hard Brexit, and if there is, there will be restrictions on importing this, especially those two. So there's 21 ingredients in a Mars bar, and two of them that he mentioned there, whey and glucose. They have a very short shelf life. I think it's 2 days. So there is a quite, like, Michael Gove, I think he said in November last year, he was at a food and drink convention, and he met with food and drink producers, and they've voiced their concerns that this will be an eventuality in a hard Brexit.
Well, he's a brilliant campaigner, whatever about administration. We'll discuss all that with Nick Ferrari when he's with us later in the programme. But let's move on to other things. And Dee Reddy, now that we're no longer calling you Murphy, tell us about the sunburn tattoo trend.
I mean, this is one of those funny ones that you wonder, is it really a trend, or did a publication just find four or five pictures online of somebody doing this and decide that, you know, they'd make a trend out of it? But basically, the trend, if it is one, is that people are putting sun cream on, but leaving unexposed parts so that they have a shape left on them that mimics a tattoo. And obviously, dermatologists are understandably worried if people are doing that, because it's a needless way to get yourself into danger in your later years with possible melanoma or skin cancer or the like. It just seems bizarre to me.
What sort of tattoos, Daniel?
So there's, like, Batman is one I've seen, and also a medal.
That looks like someone left their medal on in the sun, though.
It does. It's crazy. It's just that kind of thing where men have a very, there's a period of time that's very dangerous for a man. It's probably from 16 to 24 in terms of getting through life, just because you're so stupid. Like, there's jumping off balconies, doing things like this, deliberately getting to, like, secondary burns, that sort of thing. So this is ridiculous. The people I saw when I was looking at this, it was about 10 or 11 pictures. I could see about two women that I could distinguish, but most of them were men. Obviously, people are Ireland has probably one of the highest rate of skin cancers in the world. So it's pretty alarming that people are deliberately getting sunburned. As a ginger, I mean, I just have to walk down the street to get burned, but unfortunately I don't get nice looking tattoos like that. But
I don't know if you'd want a Batman on your chest, Daniel.
Probably not.
And then, of course, you'd also have to take off your T-shirt to reveal it, in which case the gaps could get filled in with new sunburn, couldn't it?
Well, that's it. And I don't know if the rest of us would be entirely comfortable with it.
Definitely not.
Right, now, language, the language we use. In Berkeley, California, the students have decided that gender-specific words are to be banned. So no longer will people disappear into manholes, but they will be maintenance holes. Why so, Daniel?
So this is the California city of Berkeley. So the council have decided to do away with gendered words. So no more manholes, as you said, maintenance holes. Man-made is gone as well. That'll be artificially made or the human effort. So this is to encompass, I suppose, the more accepting of different genders or gender non-conforming.
So, no more he, she, her or him. It has to be they or them.
Yeah, I mean, this is a funny one, Matt, because I think on the face of it, especially when, you know, when you hear manhole being turned into maintenance hole, that you can think that it's a mountain being made out of a molehill and that people are nitpicking. But actually, I think in broader terms, the idea behind making language gender neutral has some pretty powerful impacts if you take it on a kind of macro level. Because if you think about it, if the word is firefighter as opposed to fireman, then little girls might imagine themselves as a firefighter. If the word is fireman, they don't imagine themselves as that. And if little girls don't imagine themselves as firemen, then you have very few adult women becoming firefighters. And if there's very few adult women becoming firefighters, then the clothes and the safety equipment aren't made to fit them.
Has a woman ever walked by a manhole and said, gosh, I wish that was a woman hole?
No, but that is my point. It wouldn't be called
a woman hole, it would be called a maintenance hole.
Which is exactly what it is.
But I mean, like, that's not, like, I think that's, it's almost counterproductive when you start adding stuff like manholes.
I would agree with you on that, you know, yeah.
If anyone was offended by a manhole, they, like, seriously need bigger problems.
Yeah, but
I can understand the wider context, like policeman, policewoman, mm-hmm. chairman, those things are kind of antiquated. But when you start to accept, I think if you're to be more accepting, you don't need to eradicate genders, you know, like to be more accepting of other genders. I don't think you need to deconstruct all genders.
Listener says, remember when Trudeau called mankind peoplekind? I don't remember that, did he? The Canadian Prime Minister called mankind peoplekind.
But that doesn't offend me.
Like, yeah, I don't see why there'd be a problem with saying peoplekind.
But when you get, like, when you start, like, manpower and manholes, when you get to that level, I mean, it's feeding the people who oppose non-binary or non-gender conforming people. It just gives them an argument to go, look, this ridiculous rubbish.
Some of your messages are 0874 100 102. The correct name for a manhole is an inspection chamber. And then we have another one who says, there's no such word as people kind. Mankind is the short for humankind. That's the problem. Ignorance of language and inserting your own. Mankind is the short for humankind. Another one says, well, what words would you use to describe manual handling? Daniel, explain why everyone's getting so worked up about the Cats movie trailer. Cats being originally a musical, Andrew Lloyd Webber musical, so isn't it, coming now to the big screen?
Yes, yeah, so it's been one of the kind of steadfast musicals on Broadway and the West End for years now. Based on the poems of T.S. Eliot, it was made into a movie and the trailer went online yesterday. And it has, to say it's flopped has probably been...
Okay, but describe, what's the problem?
So you've got these kind of, you've got Judi Dench, Taylor Swift, James Corden, Jennifer Hudson. They are these kind of half-human, half-cat people, kind of CGI'd. They have sex organs. They have boobs, like the female cats. There's kind of a, like Judi Dench, you mentioned it actually when we were talking outside about the fur coat, like,
yeah, so like it just looks really weird the way that they've done it. You've these incredibly recognisable celebrities, some of the biggest stars in the world at the moment, and their faces are CGI'd onto these quite odd looking half cat half human forms. And then, as Daniel referenced, in one scene Judi Dench is wearing a big fur coat and people were commenting online, is she wearing the fur of other cats? You know, it the way that they've done it is really, really odd, especially when you're used to just seeing people in the suits on stage, which worked perfectly well. You kind of have to wonder why they did do it. And the way the faces are on these creatures, there's no other word for them because I don't think it's fair to feline lovers to call them cats. It's just done really, really oddly. People seem to be most upset by Judi Dench. I'd probably share that myself. Although, funnily enough, Judi Dench was actually meant to appear in the original production of it on the West End, right up until I think about a week before, when she tore her Achilles tendon, and had to pull out, and Elaine Page replaced her. But people have been very funny about it on Twitter. There's even people, you know, the things that people do after a disaster, a natural disaster, where it's marked safe. People have been putting up marked safe after watching the Cats movie trailer. So that shows just how strongly people feel about it.
Wait till you see the Top Gun Maverick trailer. Tom Cruise is in for that movie coming out next year as well. Anyway, that's more about planes than it is about cats. Shane Lowry has just dropped a shot in the open as well, but he still leads by one. He's at 9 under at present. Daniel Cal, the moon landing, 50th anniversary tomorrow. But Donald Trump has been very keen to get another moon landing before he finishes his second term in office. Although his ambitions now seem to be more about getting to Mars within that time frame. And he's putting, it seems, the pressure on people in NASA who you might think would know a little bit more about what's involved than he does.
Yeah, so originally he had said that he wanted Americans on the moon by 2030. And I think Obama had the same sort of hope as well. But now he has shortened that. He's taken 6 years off because he wants them on the moon by, or sorry, not the moon, they've done that. He wants them on Mars by 2024. So there, he tweeted famously a couple of months ago saying, you know, forget the moon. We've already been there. Let go straight for Mars, which in brackets he put is part of the moon, which was news to me. But it's quite interesting on the 50th anniversary, the sort of parallels of a president wanting to get to space, because like the original moon landing was an aspiration of John F. Kennedy in 1961. Of course, he died in 1963, but he promised to get somebody on the moon by the end of the decade.
They managed in 1969, in July 20th, 1969.
Yes, tomorrow.
You have become interested, or have you always been interested, Dee, in the moon landing?
Yeah, it's always been something that fascinates me. Funny enough, I'd hate to go into space myself, but I love reading about it and watching documentaries. One thing that I came across a couple of years ago, and it was only when I think it was Buzz Aldrin's sons went to sell some of the stuff. But just to go back to this mission that you were talking about, people have been complaining about the fact that there's a lot of the technology of this is going to come from private industry as opposed to NASA itself. And it did occur to me when I'd heard this anecdote that I'm about to share, that actually the first moon landings, to a certain extent, they were done on a moon and a prayer. NASA weren't able to actually financially afford to insure the astronauts. So what they did, and it's probably the most American workaround that I've ever heard, they gave the astronauts' families, before they went up, a load of merch that they could sign. And basically the idea was that this stuff would be worth so much money in the event of their fathers, husbands, uncles dying, that they could just sell it off and they'd be set for life.
That is quite extraordinary.
It is extraordinary.
No insurance. So the idea is, oh yeah, they'll be heroes because they're dead. So sell all their stuff.
Yep, basically.
Collector's items.
So like we played a clip actually in the movies last night for First Man, and you know I think the clip was Neil Armstrong's character was talking to his wife and she's saying, you know, go and say goodbye to your kids because you don't know if you're going to see them again. You've no guarantee. What are the chances? It must have been terrifying, exciting, but you know that you didn't know, because if you think 61 years earlier the Model T was invented, 61 years later the first kind of commercial car was on the market, and then you're flying to the moon, you're building a rocket. It's incredible. Like,
listener says, Yuri Gagarin flew into space 8 years earlier, the step that led the way for the American landing. Yeah, Kennedy responded to that. Wonder will we celebrate that historic event as much as the American moon landings? Put it in your calendar. Thank you very much, Dee Reddy and Daniel Cal from Willis.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.